revival. Amen. All righty. Brother Buddy, you got something for us?
Number 42. Page number 42. Hail the powers.
For this revival, dear Lord. Thank you that it's upon us, dear Father. I pray that you'll meet with us today, dear Father. Give us a good time today, dear Lord. Bless Brother Fry as he preaches. Pray that you'll give him every word, dear Lord, and help him to speak, dear Father, and speak the word of God, dear Father, and help each and every one of us, dear Father, to have open hearts and listening ears today, dear Father. I pray that you'll apply it to our hearts, dear Father, that we can be better Christians, dear Lord. We're looking forward, dear Lord. We hope and pray that we can see souls saved, dear Lord. But we also pray that you'll help each Christian, dear Father. Help us to get something from the revival that will help us in our service to thee, dear Lord. Thank you so much again for this time. Bless every song that's sung and every word that's said in Christ's name. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Number 44, choir, church hymn. Number 44, come unto me.
Tammy.
that didn't get you jumping, we're going to have our fellowship song now. Hopefully y'all get a little bit of jumping going. Brother Betty, what's our fellowship song?
Number 198, there's power in the blood. 198.
Power. he's just learned something. Do what? Play who? Say, play it who? Maestro.
Play Maestro.
Play it Maestro.
Okay.
On the outskirts of the city sat a blind man by the way. As he sat in all his darkness, begged for his need each passing day. One last time the Lord came passing outside of Jericho that day. The man cried Jesus and he healed him. I thought I heard the blind man say, I just never have imagined that I'd see things quite this way. Life looks so completely different than seen in past gone days. I'm not stumbling and groping like so many times before. My vision's been restored completely. I'm not in darkness anymore. On the outskirts of the city, to Jacob's well the woman came. Five husbands and a man who wouldn't give her his hand and name. But then she met a man named Jesus sitting by the well that day. He gave her a drink of living water. I thought I heard the woman say, I just never have imagined that water tasted quite this way. This water's so completely different than what I drank in past gone days. And I notice I'm not thirsty like so many times before. This water satisfies completely. and I'm not thirsty anymore. This water satisfies completely, and I'm not thirsty anymore.
It takes us one drink. Amen. Brother Fry, everybody knows you, but just pray for Brother Fry as he comes. He'll bring the message that God wants him to, and I'm sure he will.
Baptist preacher.
Okay. All right. Open your Bibles, please, this morning to Psalms 122. Psalms 122. And while you're finding your places in the Word of God, let me say that it's a joy and a privilege to be back at Faith Baptist Church. I appreciate my wife, Miss Polly, being with me this week. And I enjoyed the Sunday school time. And I enjoyed the choir singing and the music and the special. To God be the glory. I thank the Lord for the rain, although people don't like a revival start on a rainy day, but God knows best, and He makes no mistakes. But I'm looking forward to the meeting, and I hope that I say something to be a help and that of an encouragement to you. It's kind of a little bit awkward for me, without a pastor. I'm sorry that Brother Van moved on somewhere else, but those things happen along the way. So when you go to a church and when there's no pastor, it's like a tooth missing, a foot out of joint. And I know that you're searching and you're praying, and I believe God has a man for you. So this week, as an evangelist, I'm going to try to help you the best I can. I want to share with you some things today that I have learned down through the years in being a pastor. I pastored for 42 years. As most of you know, the first church I pastored was 8 years, and then the last church, 34 years. And now I've been in evangelism 13 years. And so I appreciate the opportunity that God has given me over the years just to preach for Him. If you could and would, please, would you stand as we read the Word of God together, after reading the Scripture together, please, may stand for prayer time, and I'd appreciate that. In Psalms 122, beginning at verses number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there set thrones of judgment and thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. My heavenly Father, I come before you on this Lord's Day morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I realize that the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess He's Christ, the Lord of glory. Now we give you this thanks again that we can come to your house on this Lord's Day to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, we have worshiped you in Sunday school time. Lord, we have worshiped you in song time. Now it's time for the preaching of the Word of God, and I pray that thou shalt give me holy unction as I stand before you to preach thy word. And I'm praying as the Word of God is preached that souls will get saved. I pray the saints of God to be helped and encouraged. Now, Father, again, I pray that you'd give revival in these closing days of grace. Now, I shall thank you for all things that are accomplished. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the Word of God and prayer time. I'm going to share with some things with you today that I have learned down through the years of going to the house of God. And you'll learn more in the house of God than you'll learn anywhere. You may go to the best of school, the best of college, but you'll learn more about God in the church than anywhere else. So I want to share with you on this thought the reasons for going to the house of God. Let me give you a brief introduction to our message and lay the foundation of the message today. God has always had a place for his people to meet. Always remember this now, that God has always had a place for his people to meet. Then God has always had a witness. God has never been without a witness. He will never be without a witness. Just suppose that the rapture should take place today. I'm glad that God has 144,000 virtuous Jews that's never bowed a knee to Baal. And so God has never been without a witness. Now in Old Testament times, it was at the tabernacle and the temple. Now these meetings were a holy convocation. Jews meet on the Sabbath. The church meets on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Now, this is not the Sabbath. You hear people along the way, they said, Lord, bless us on the Sabbath day. This is not the Sabbath. This is the first day of the week. This is the day that we celebrate and honor the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the first day of the week. And of all times that we come to the house of God, that God has commanded we come one day, and that's on Sunday. God gave a command that we come to his house on the Lord's day to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, of course, outside of Sunday, midweek, a revival time is an honor and a privilege of the church that it gives. And then again, let me share something else. So the purpose for these meetings was for God to reveal his presence and to make his will known, and the reason for our meeting together. First of all, that the heart may be filled with gladness. Now, notice what the psalmist said. He said, I was glad. And Psalms 122, in verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, what a joy it is to come to the house of God. For almost 60 years now, I've been preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to go to God's house on the Lord's day. And so it's a joy, not a necessity. No, I go to the house of God because I enjoy going to church. Can I hear amen? We go because we enjoy going. God has commanded that we come to his house. And David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Isaiah chapter number 2, and verses 2 and verse number 3. And shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And then we look, and notice that, and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now in the house of God, God teaches us in his house. First of all, he teaches us his ways. Being the age that I am, 82 years young, and almost 60 years now serving the Lord. Let me say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm learning about the ways of God. I have not got through learning, and neither have you. As time goes on, we'll learn more about God. But in the house of God, we learn the ways of God. Then we learn about salvation. The Bible tells us here in John chapter 14, in the first 6 verses now, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, if you, and I believe you are, you read your Bible, you study the Word of God, and we find in chapter number 13 of John the Gospel, when Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going away, but you cannot go with me. In a little while, I'm going to return and come back for you. Now, they didn't understand this back in Bible days. The disciples did not understand this because they had left their families. They had left the occupation to follow the Lord. And now he said, I'm going away, and you cannot go with me, but after a while, I'll come back for you. And don't let your hearts be troubled. He's saying now to his disciples, he said to you and I, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Then he goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. I believe with all of my soul and all of my heart that there are mansions in heaven. I believe that. But also now for 2,000 years, our Lord has been preparing a place for his bride. And we are to say, we are the bride. And then, of course, you know, people said, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Then Thomas said unto him, always got this one. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, that's a good question, Lord. You just got through telling us to not let our hearts be troubled. You just got through telling us in the Father's house there are many mansions. And then you just got through telling us I'm going to prepare a place for you. How do we know how to get there? How can we get there? And Jesus saith unto him, notice that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now Jesus is simply saying, I'm the door to salvation. I am salvation. And he said, you got to come through me to get to heaven. You cannot bypass Christ and get to heaven. You've got to be born of the Spirit. You got to be washed in the blood and have your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life to go to the city of God. But after we get saved, now we learn in God's house how to be saved. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The same faith that you exercise every day is that same faith you exercise in the finished work of Calvary to get born again. Then after we're saved, the Bible teaches us that all of our sins are on the blood behind the back of God. They've been washed away. And those sins will never be remembered against us anymore. But now that we're saved, we learn something else in the house of God. We learn about this word sanctification. We learn about being set apart. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And Paul describes it best in the book of Romans chapter 12. In the first two verses now. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice now. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Get this now. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so I'm glad that I have been sanctified. I'm glad I am being sanctified. And I'm going to be sanctified. So if you're saved, you have been sanctified. You're being sanctified and you're going to be sanctified. That simply means that we're set apart. We're in this world, but every day we're set apart with the Word of God. It talks about sanctification. We're in this world, but thank God we're not of this world. And then something else. This is the reason we go to the house of God. We learn this. We learn service. Now, James tells us in the book of James, chapter 5, and verses 13 down through verses number 16. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merit? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now get this, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now notice this key verse here, in verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now ladies and gentlemen, we learn how to service God, or how to serve God in his house. Then we're learning how to pray. I wish I could tell you I've already learned how, but I'm still learning how to pray. How about you? A man asked me not too long ago, said, Brother Fry, how long did it take you to learn how to preach? I said, sir, I have never learned. The day I learn, I'm going to quit. Preaching is a calling of God. It's not that you learn, but we go and we serve God every day. We're learning and serving the Lord. And so the Bible teaches us when any is sick, we learn this in the house of God what we're to do. That they call for the elders of the church, and we anoint them with oil. Now, oil is a type of the Holy Spirit that does not do the healing, but we go in the name of the Lord, and then we pray the prayer of faith, and God shall save the sick. Then I like verse number 16, where it says, confess your faults one to another. Now, I know of people in my time that got saved, and they ran well for a while, and then they got back out in the world and got in sin, and they committed terrible sin. Now, I certainly believe this, not because I'm a Baptist, but because of the teaching of the Word of God. Once in grace, always in grace. Once saved, always saved. There's nothing can undo your physical birth or undo your spiritual birth. And God has some children that become disobedient to Him. And so that person that's done wrong, sinned against God, they come to the altar, they leave the gift there, and the person they have wronged, they go to that person and make that right. But they do not have to come before the church and confess everything they've done wrong while they're away from God and out of the will of God. And so the Bible said they make that right, and that's what's important. But now confessing our faults one to another. Give you this illustration right here. Some years ago when I was pastor Spruce Street Baptist Church, a lady came to me, and she was a good lady, a faithful lady. She taught a Sunday school class. She sang in the choir. She sang solos. She was a good artist. She was faithful to come to church. She's now with the Lord. And she was just a good person. But being a good person doesn't make you saved, but she had all the fruits. And she came to me one Sunday morning with tears in her eyes and said, Brother Fry, would you forgive me? Now, the first thought that I had, I thought she'd been out gossiping about me. That's what I thought. I don't know why I thought that. That's what I thought. But she said, in the last several weeks, I have not prayed for you like I should have. Will you forgive me, because out today, I'm going to begin to pray for you again. Now, that's confessing your faults one to another. If we'll confess our faults one to another this week and said, I haven't prayed for you, I haven't lifted you up in prayer like I should have, it's a possibility that we could have revival at Faith Baptist Church. And so we learn these things here in the house of God. Then I noticed something else. We learn to walk with God. Abraham walked by faith, and he walked with God. Then we learn to walk with the right company. It's important that we walk with the right company. Once you're saved, you cannot run with this crowd that's unsaved, because you're not to do that. Then I wish I could tell you that every church that has a steeple on it, where they preach the Word of God, practice the Word of God, live the Word of God, but I cannot tell you that. There's some that preachers call themselves preachers or clergymen, and they stand behind the pulpit. They deny the virgin birth of Christ. They deny the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. And let me say, I cannot fellowship with people like that. A people that deny the virgin birth of Christ, deny, listen, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, there is no fellowship. I remember back several years ago now when I was pastor, I was called upon to assist in a funeral in this Lutheran church, and I'm not down to the Lutherans now, and I was called upon to assist in a funeral. And when I got there, I was invited to go back to the office where the preacher was, or whoever he was, and he was sitting there in a long robe with a crucifix around his neck. I can see him in my memory now, with his feet laying on the desk and a cigar in his mouth. And then he said to me, he pointed to this clothes hanger, coat rack over there. He said, now your robe is over there. And I looked at him, and I did not want to be smart or ugly, but I said, sir, I have my robe on. And then he said, well, let's go across the hall, and went across the hall and opened the door, went in this little room, and there was a statue of it in there. And he said to me, we bow right here. I said, oh, no. I quit bowing to idols a long time ago. And then he said to me, when we get out in the sanctuary, would you please turn around and give hail to Mary? I said, I'll never do that either, sir. Now, I'd already preached back a young preacher. I'm going to preach the Word of God by grace if I have to cut the tree down and stand on the same stump and preach the Word of God. You know what he said to me that day? He said, then you cannot take your place behind the podium. You'll have to stand in the corner. Like a little boy gone down to the principal's office, and he put me in the corner to stand a while. That day, you know what I did? I cut the tree down. and stood on that stump and I preached, you must be born again. You got to be washed in the blood. And you know what? There's no fellowship there. I could not fellowship with this man. And it's important that we walk with the right company, because once you're saved, you're different. Christ changes you inwardly and he changes you outwardly. And so we learn this in the house of God. The Bible goes on to tell us again now. In Proverbs, notice now, chapter 13, verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And then the house of God, we learn about his word. Oh, how precious is the word of God. The Bible tells us here in Psalms 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, you cannot always have a Bible in your hand. Down at the grocery store, or in the bank, or your place of employment, you cannot always have a Bible in your hand, but you can hide it in your heart. And when it comes time to witness, you've got enough hidden in your heart that you can witness for the Lord. And there may come a day where things are going now. There may come a day that they'll gather our Bibles, the old King James Bibles, and burn them. That's a possibility, even in our lifetime. But if you have the Word of God hid in your heart, they can never take that away from you. And so we learn about God's Word in his house. And also, number two, we learn something else in the house of God to make us steadfast. In Psalms 122, and we find here at verses 2 and verse number 3, notice what he said now in verses 3, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. And I think that Paul describes this very well here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses number 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, these are some things that we learn in God's house. God is needing a people who is unmovable. God is looking for a people who is steadfast. God's looking for a people who will stick by the stuff. Now, one thing I can say about Faith Baptist Church, you folk are faithful, and you have been faithful. I tell this all across this country. And faces I miss today, they're with the Lord. And, of course, I'm sure some has wandered away like all churches are. But God is looking for a people that is unmovable and sticking by the stuff regardless of their circumstances. Then again, he says something else, abounding in the work of the Lord. God wants the people marching forward, abounding in the work of God. And then something else I notice here, assurance that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I'll assure you that every door that you knock on, every person that you invite to church, they may not come. But God will not forget your labor of love, and one day you shall be rewarded for it. See, God will not forget our labor and love. You can always count on this. I remember a man that I pastored at Spruce Street Baptist Church for better than 30 years. And his name was Brother Bill Wilson. And every time the preacher got up, he had a glass of water on the pulpit. If an evangelist there, he had a glass of water there. A missionary there had a glass of water there. And you get where you take everything for granted. And then every Saturday morning between 10:30 and 11, on the front door of the church, he'd be on his knees polishing the doorknobs. And on Sunday morning when you came to church, you could see yourself in those brass doorknobs. And then suddenly, Brother Bill became sick. He's in church on Sunday night. And on Monday morning, he didn't awake. And they couldn't awake him, took him to the hospital, and they found a tumor on the brain. He didn't live but a few days. He died but in just a few days. Now I remember that day of the funeral. And I'm already behind the pulpit. And one of the men that works at the funeral home, and I'd already read my scripture. He said, I must say a word. He said, I live down the street here. And every Saturday morning for years I come by the church. I see Mr. Wilson on his knees polishing the doorknob. And one Saturday morning, I couldn't take it anymore, I got home, I bowed on my knees, and I got saved. Because he seen a man pass the door, and I was faithfully at the house of God. And then also, I got to think about that. Brother Bill was not a soul winner, but he loved this church. He loved the house of God. He was church custodian. But he put that glass of water on that pulpit. He polished that doorknob. And one day God will give him rewards at the Bema. So you rest assured that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then we learned something else in the house of God. We learned to give thanksgiving unto the Lord. Here in verses number 4, whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Psalms 100 in verses number 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And then Paul says here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verses number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In everything, we give God thanks, amen. Because we got up this morning, was able to dress ourselves and come down to the house of God, we give him thanks for that. Because we had food on the table, we give thanks to God for that. Because we can come to a Bible-believing church, we give thanks to God for that. Thank God for our nation, all the things that's wrong in our nation, but thank God for America. So we learn these things in the house of God. We learn to give him thanksgiving. I will never live enough days to thank him for the day that he saved me, would you? Oh, what a blessed day that was. I'll never get over thanking him for the time he reached down into my clay of sin and saved my soul. So we learn this in the house of God. Thank him for our water. Thank him for the roof over our head. Oh, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet. Thank God. We learn this in the house of God. And then I noticed something else here, number 4. We learned this in the house of God, that lives might be readjusted. In verses number 5, notice what he tells us now. He said, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And so the house of God, a place where sin is revealed and confessed. And the Bible said in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So in the house of God, homes are readjusted. And then family altars started. Let me say, this will save many marriages today. We find all of this at the house of God. Homes today, never before has a devil attacked our homes like attacking our homes today. Never before, listen, has a devil attacked our families as our families are being attacked today. And then I think about this, of all the things in the world today. Thank God for the altars in our church. Then the house of God, young people finding God's will, not becoming unequally yoked together. We're living in a terrible time. When the leader of our great nation sanctions same-sex marriage, do you see where we are? But we know what the Bible said is sodomy. Just in Minnesota a few days ago, they signed into law where two men could get married, two women could get married. Isn't this awful? This is against the word of God. But we learn in God's house that this is not God's will. This is not God's plan. God's plan for marriage is between a man and a woman. God sanctioned that. Can you say amen to that? But we learn this, and young people today are falling by the wayside and getting involved in this because it's not cried aloud from the pulpit anymore. God help us preachers, listen, teachers and witness for God today, that we signed out the warning today to our young people not to come unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Walk straight with God. Live for God. Then also we learn something else in the house of God. We learn to pray. Oh, we learn to pray. I try to pray faithfully every day, but we're still learning how to pray. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Oh, the Bible said, listen, learn what to pray for. Pray for Jerusalem. Some people said, Brother Fry, when do you think the Lord is going to come? I don't know the day, and neither do you. I don't know the hour, neither do you. Even the angels in heaven don't know. But if you don't know how close we are to the coming of the Lord, keep your eyes on Jerusalem. That is our time clock. Things are pointing toward the coming of our Lord. And so we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And then also we pray for missions. Oh, church, thank you for supporting our ministry faithfully every month. And every soul that we reach for God, you have a part in that because you pray for us, because you support our ministry. And so we learn this in the house of God. We pray for the missionaries. And then we pray for the pastor. And then we pray for each other. We learn this down at the house of God. We learn all this. And this is the reason that we go to the house of God. And then again, let me say, pray all for souls to be saved. Pray lest you enter into temptation. And there's not a person that's saved under God's Son what is not tempted every day of their life. There might be some neighbors in your life you're not tempted like you was when you was younger. And in my younger days, I was tempted of things I'm not tempted of today, but I still have temptation, and so do you. One of my greatest temptations, the devil tells me every day, why don't you quit? Why don't you sit down? And if he tells me that, he's going to tell some of you that. Because if he can get you and I to sit down, he's won a great victory. Are you still with me now? So we face this temptation every day. You never get too young to serve the Lord. You never get too old to serve the Lord. I watched these little boys receiving the offering. They'll never forget that. We have a granddaughter, Kelly, who has a little heart problem, and she starts wearing a heart monitor tomorrow, the Lord willing. And she's been in church since she's 2 weeks old. Her mom is church secretary. She goes to church every day. She's homeschooled. And then we have a granddaughter. Recently, she's got back in church, but some time ago, she was out of church. And she has two children. And so was on the back porch one day. And so Kelly, who's in church all the time, 6 years old, said to Baden, who's 7 years old, how come you don't go to church? She said, I don't like church. And then she said, you're going to die and go to hell at the age of six. Guess where Baden is today? They're in church today because a little six-year-old girl said that. You see, even little children, amen, they learn, they do. And they have an impact. Many mom and dads got saved because that little child went to Sunday school and they learned some scripture, memorized it, went home and quoted to their parents. I'm about to shout up here. And they got saved because of that. So we pray for souls to be saved. Pray not enter into temptation. Jeremiah 33, verse number 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then number 6, we learn this in the house of God. This is the reason we go, that peace and prosperity may abide in verses number 7. He said, peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces now. All notice here, peace within the walls of a person's life and home. We need peace in our home today. We need peace in our own soul today. If everything's all right in your house where you live, it'll be all right in the house of God. And if everything is all right in your house, in my house, in the house of God, let me say, it'll be all right here. It'll be all right with our fellow man. You see, one thing about it, if we keep our heart right with God, we'll have no problem with those who lives on the outside. We'll be effective witness for the Lord. But I want to go home where there's peace. I have stayed in a many home since I've been in the ministry. Back a few weeks ago, I was in Fredericksburg, Virginia. My wife wasn't with me, and our home got struck by lightning. And so I had to move out into a prophet's quarters with another brother who was singing in that meeting. And I was treated well, but it wasn't home. And then I went on to Lynchburg, and I had to move in the house with a pastor to preach that week. Hadn't done that in years. They treated me with royalty, but it wasn't home. You know what I'm saying? You can take vacations. You can go visit family and friends. And they can treat you with all the royalty. But there's no place like your place. There's no place like your home. There's no place like your church. Are you still with me this morning? There's no place like the house of God. Oh, we need to have peace in these places this morning. And then again, the Bible goes on to tell us, prosperity, love God's house, support his work, and God will meet the need. You support God's house with tithe and offering, God will meet every need. I'll assure you of that. And then I want you to notice last, a reason to go in the house of God, provides an opportunity to love the brethren. Today we have allowed the world to take away our birthright today. People are afraid to tell one another that they love them. I was at Lowe's last week, and I went down to get something, and I very seldom ever go work around the house and bib overalls and caps and straw hats in the yard, but I very seldom ever go to the store like that. But I went down to Lowe's, and I had to run down and get something. I had on my work. I've been working out in the yard and had on the cap, and I met one of our members of the church where we're members of, and he didn't recognize me. And he walked by me, and I said, "Hey, aren't you going to speak to me?" He said, "Why, you're Brother Fry. I didn't know you dressed as if I hadn't been being dressed. I know what he's talking about." He hugged my neck, and he said, "You know what? People are going to think we're doing a dance out here in the parking lot." That's what he said. You have to be careful today. But we've allowed the world to take away our birthright. God tells us right here in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." We're to love each other, support each other. We learn this down at the house of God. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, don't let the world take away nothing that God's give you. Love one another. Appreciate one another. You can walk in a church. You can walk in a home. You can tell whether that's love or not. You can tell whether that's tension or not. Back in the days when I pastored, I have gone into some homes, and I wasn't there, but I could feel some tension. If you want to know anything, just ask little children. And I said, "What's going on?" They said, "Mama and Daddy just got through fighting." And that's why all that tension was there. So if you want to know anything about the house, ask that little child. They're just as innocent as they can be, but they'll tell you what's going on because they have not learned how to cover it up yet. But love one another. That's my message. Would you stand, please, while every head's bowed? As our pianist comes, our song leader comes with our invitation song. My Heavenly Father, thank you for time together. Thank you, Lord, for moments together. And Lord, these things that we're learning every day as we attend your house and faithful to your house, we're learning more every day how to serve you. Lord, help us to be a better Christian. Help us to be that better child, that one day when we get home, you say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter now into the joys of our Lord. I'll make you rule over men." Many. Lord, I pray now that you bless this altar call. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. What are we singing, Brother Bailey?
Number 246.
246 on the first stanza. The Lord has asked you to come to pray around an old-fashioned altar today. I want you to be obedient to the Lord today. Just mind God today. That's all you have to do is just mind Him. Just be obedient to Him. All God asks us to do is just to come and be faithful to Him. Be faithful to Him. Without any more singing, would you play softly, Sister Teresa? Thank you.
good message. This church has been home for me for, I don't know, 45 years, I guess, close to 45 years. And we don't always see eye to eye. Me and my wife don't always see eye to eye. And we've raised three children, and now she wants to raise the four-legged kind. I fuss every now and then, but she usually gets away. But it's home, and you always look forward to being here. Had a good time, brother. Good message. I hope nobody's in a hurry. I hope everybody will stick around. Got some good eating. And Faith Baptist always knows how to cook. That's another sign of a Baptist table. Yeah. All right. God bless you. We'll be up in the fellowship hall.